sales and marketing, of course, coming in from, I think working at Yellow Pages really gave me an eye-opening experience as well, because not many non-Caucasians were working there in the first place. So I was kind of in differently, but then I always wanted to strive and do well as a sales rep, right? So I always mimicked a lot of the top salespeople and basically shadowed them and got a lot of mentoring help to want to be like them. So I've always strived to be the best that I can. And when I got to that President's Gold Circle and awarded a lot of these trips and stuff, I basically was able to say, look, what more can I do in sales? Or should I take my skill set to do something that I know I can do, but take that risk, right? So that's where I kind of jumped onto the SEO space, because a lot of those clients I had was frustrated with the return on investment because it wasn't the same as it used to be, right? Like Yellow Pages was the dominant player in terms of how people consume business owners or found businesses, right? So now today, Google kind of replaced how Yellow Pages print directory existed 20 years ago. And so me being in the very similar space was easy for me to transition into this SEO space.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And today we have a special guest. It's John Vong. And John is a Canadian by birth, I believe. And John started his own SEO company 6 years ago. And after working in the corporate world for many years, John decided to start his own company. He absolutely loved working with small business owners and helping them grow their companies. And that's how Local SEO Search started. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you for having me, Anne. I'm delighted. I'm looking forward to having a great discussion about helping your audience members understand a little bit about SEO, but also about my journey and how I got started, for sure.
Yes, because we don't always end up where we started, but you did because you were born in Canada, but your family were from somewhere else. So how did you and your family end up in Canada?
Yeah, so a little backstory. I was the only one in my family that was actually born in Canada. So really close to Toronto, outside of Toronto, about an hour away. I was born in 1980. My parents actually left the Vietnam War and had to liquidate, sell their businesses because, as you know, during the war, you do anything to escape and hopefully for a better life for your family. And you don't know what the unknowns are, right? Like at that time of crisis, you're just looking after the most immediate people in your life, right? And just like what we're going through right now, the pandemic, it really boils down to the closest ties, right? Which is relationships, family members, and obviously community, right? But of course, shelter is also very important. So it's like, where do you want to reside safe havenly, but also be with the closest members in your family? So what they decided was liquidate, sell all your assets to gold, and then smuggle themselves away on a boat to a safer place. And hopefully someone picks them up through immigration. So that's what happened. And we were fortunate enough to reside in Canada. And that's where I grew up and was born. So I have three other siblings, but they were born in Vietnam. But of course, they were fairly young at that time. So they don't really know what happened, right, throughout that journey. And then fast forward a little bit. So I grew up, my parents didn't have English in terms of their first language, right? Like they came from Vietnam, they were business owners. So they didn't really need to learn different dialects, right? And therefore, coming to a new country, new language, new system, new, you know, just environment, was very difficult for them, right? So I was fortunate enough to be born here and then grew up with the Canadian system, education system, learning about the culture and people before I started the business altogether.
You're very fortunate to end up somewhere that you're able to grow and thrive. I know here in Australia, we have had a lot of Vietnamese refugees, and we used to call them the boat people as well. And they were the first boat people that came to Australia. There's been many more since then, but it's marvelous that you were able to be taken into a new country and that you adapted so easily.
Yeah, so I'm actually, I have some relatives in Australia out in Melbourne. So my aunts and uncles from my mom's side actually immigrated there, like during one of the boat people as well. So they reside there, but I've never traveled there. So for me, I kind of grew up and was raised here in Canada. And again, we're all very fortunate. And if I look back, it would have been a lot different, of course, if we did stay. And there's a lot of unknowns, right? How would life be differently if we did stay? And would we even have what we have here today, right? Like the freedom, the ability to start and thrive and build something you call your own, right? So there's a lot of pros and cons to it. And I was fortunate enough to go back to Vietnam last Christmas, actually, with my mom to visit where she built her business and the community that she lived in. So it was very eye-opening to see how they lived and what really went on in terms of the commerce and, just the day-to-day interactions.
I have been fortunate enough to travel to Vietnam myself. I've been to the south and I've been to the north. And just for a visitor, there is differences. It looks more Chinese up in the north, and in the south, it's a very, very busy, bustling place.
Yes.
And who knows what would have happened to the family if you had stayed and if you would have survived or your father would have survived through what ended up happening. But today it seems like it's a completely different place.
Yeah. So, again, I look at it and I'm like, life is definitely, full of uncertainties, right? And there's going to be a lot of things thrown your way and you just got to make the most of it. And therefore, I believe my parents were business people and I was, basically born in, and basically my mindset has always been I wanted to be a business person, right? My siblings, however, so I have two brothers and an older sister, they actually are in engineering. So they went to school and their profession is engineers. And I was kind of the, different one out of the outsider, I would say. And I kind of gravitated towards being an entrepreneur business. And my big thing after university, I did study finance, but I actually went into sales and marketing and advertising sales. So that's where my big break was. And that's where I kind of stayed for 10 years prior to starting my own business. So I didn't just go blind going into a business, but I had a lot of experience, dealt with a lot of business owners as a small, medium-sized advertising sales rep. I dealt with over 5,000 local business owners before I started my own company. So I worked at Yellow Pages for over 5 years before I learned about this whole Google world and how technology has changed even in the last couple of years. Think about last 10 years, 15, 20 years. And then, of course, generational. How did my parents communicate? How did content get distributed, right? Like there's so many things that has advanced over the years, months. And so we just have to adapt to change, right?
Yeah. It's marvelous and hard to grasp and keep up, I suppose, with the changes, but it's a good grounding that you had knowing parents that were business people and to know that that is something that you could do. And it looks like you've gone on and earned your, rungs on the ladder, I suppose, through sales and marketing. That's a tough gig to thrive in.
Yeah, so sales and marketing, of course, coming in from, I think, working at Yellow Pages really gave me an eye-opening experience as well because not many non-Caucasians were working there in the first place. So I was kind of in differently. But then I always wanted to strive and do well as a sales rep, right? So I always mimicked a lot of the top salespeople and basically shadowed them and got a lot of mentoring help to want to be like them. So I've always strived to be the best that I can. And when I got to that President's Gold Circle and awarded a lot of these trips and stuff, I basically was able to say, look, what more can I do in sales? Or should I take my skill set to do something that I know I can do, but take that risk, right? So that's where I kind of jumped onto the SEO space, because a lot of those clients I had was frustrated with the return on investment because it wasn't the same as it used to be, right? Like Yellow Pages was the dominant player in terms of how people consume business owners or found businesses, right? So now today, Google kind of replaced how Yellow Pages print directory existed 20 years ago. And so me being in the very similar space was easy for me to transition into this SEO space.
Right. SEO. Do you think everyone knows what SEO is? Maybe we better start there.
So I will summarize it in a nutshell. So SEO is short form for search engine optimization. So the last, I would say, 10 plus years, Google has kind of taken over the world, right? Like in terms of you having internet, there's only certain browsers that you probably use, which is Chrome, Internet Explorer, Safari, Opera. So there's Internet Explorers, and then there's, you know, homepage, right? Like which sites do you use when you're searching for things? So there's Google, there's Bing and Yahoo, right? In China, it's Baidu. Right. So if you're looking at different search engines, what a search engine is really a compository of every single data that is centralized in one spot. So if you think about Yellow Pages, it was more of a directory of all business owners. But then there's encyclopedias as well, and there's research papers, and there's every other form of documentation, right? So Google centralizes every single form of content piece, from written content to images to video, as well as to audio, so that people can easily access the information. So it's a free, open form of communication. And what search engines has allowed you to do is refine your search. And then when you're searching with a keyword, it comes up with a result, right? So it allows for easy access to what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And therefore, what I focus on is Google. And I focus on helping business owners, small, medium-sized business owners, family-run business owners who want a more digital presence, which is online presence, and try to generate more leads, right? More calls, more transactions, more awareness, so that whoever's seeking them out, they can find them on a more consistent level and more higher up in the search engine. So it's also natural. So search engine optimization is natural listings and not paid listings.
Right. People are using many different apps to find out information, I suppose. Does that make any difference to the to what they're searching for through the apps that they're using, or does that got nothing to do with it?
Yeah, so what search engine optimization is really focused on is helping your website appear higher up on Google search results, right? So apps are a little bit different because there's a lot of different apps out there. Like if you are following a brand, right? Walmart or Costco or whatever it is, right? Or Amazon. They have their own apps. But then there's also social media pages like YouTube for video, Facebook for social communication. There's Twitter for short-term tweets. And then there's also Instagram, which is for images, right? So all these have their own purpose and different audience members. But when it comes to more business transactions, and when people are looking for to look for a local business, like service or product, they tend to do research online and then shop local, right? More community-based, you probably don't want to travel more than 2 to 10 kilometers, right? It's really focused on the local dentist, the plumber, restaurant, florist, whatever you may, you know, the services that you need, right? And that's what we help. We help those local businesses help, you know, get more leads and traffic to their website that will then drive more sales for them, top line revenue that will equate to better returns on their investment and profitability.
Okay. So are you saying that it doesn't matter if you're trying to put yourself out there from a website or from a Facebook page? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Google search is all about helping your website rank, right? When you have a Facebook page, the challenge with Facebook is it's more friends, right? Mm-hmm. People share, you know, like hobbies, communities, you're in groups potentially, but you're typically communicating with your friends, your family, your colleagues, your, you know, just someone that you have a close relationship with. And all you want to do is communicate directly with them, right? And see what's going on in their life. See their posts, their shares, their likes, what comments, etc., right? Very similar to Instagram, right? Where it's more of an online magazine, right? Where it's all pictures and all you see is like visual, right? So different medium platforms are for different demographics, which are different for the purpose, right? So you have to understand where you want to be as a business owner or as just you being social. You may like just going on Twitter and Facebook just so that you can browse, but you don't want to be marketed to. You don't go to Facebook to find a local dentist, okay, right? Or a local restaurant, right? You go to Google to find that, right? It's the same thing as videos. You go to YouTube to look for how-to videos, how to do fix things yourself, how to cook things, right? Because it's a tutorial video. So there's different mediums for different purposes. And the podcast is great for people that are either commuting to and from work or at home, and they like consuming content audibly, right? Like hearing versus watching, because, you know, you can download the podcast and listen to it anytime you want, right? Mm-hmm. Versus when you're in front of a computer, you probably want to get real life search results or watch the news or see something that's more real time.
Okay. All right. So from your experience point of view then, how's the best way to connect with an audience? I've heard you in another podcast talk about understanding your audience. So could you expand on that, please?
Yeah. So it's a great point, because what you need to really focus on is, if you're a business owner, where are your type of customers, your ideal customers consuming content? What I mean by that is, are they checking you out on Google, or are they checking you out via video, or are they checking you out for images, right? Like if you are a product type of business where you're selling, you know, clothing line or widgets, right? Do you care to read stuff, or is it more image rich, right? People want to see how it looks, feels, right? Read the reviews. But when it comes to a service, which is like a local dentist, for instance, you want to actually know a little bit more about their service offering. So you want to read the content piece and also understand that profile of how the journey of how people buy stuff, right? So you got to hit them in different places at the right time, right? And what Google allows you to do is, and I think Google is great at this, very similar to how Yellow Pages was the best place for business owners, is because the consumers, the users who are seeking out that product or service are in control of that decision. You're not pushing ads at people. You're just there and letting them decide who to pick, right? Versus if you go to Google and there's ads at the top, or you go to Facebook and every 2 strolls, you see an ad pop up, or you go to Facebook or Instagram and you see ads pop up all the time. It's more the distracting for the consumers, right? Like you didn't want to see that ad. You only want to be in control and seek something out when you are ready. And that's what Google provides.
It sounds as though there's a lot business owners need to be more aware of to be successful and to be found. And I suppose that's the trick. How do they get found?
Yeah. So what I always advise clients and prospects are run a really solid business. What I mean by that is take care of your customers, make sure you have a strong core values and product service offering, and you have a client base, right, of people that are willing to pay for your services. So you kind of know who they are, and then build a website for the type of people that you are interested in attracting more of, right? Without that client base and intel information, you're going to go blind. It's like a, you know, business proposal without understanding who your real customers are, right? So first figure out who your audience members are, your customers, and then create content, create a website, and then create a whole campaign to position yourself as the expert. Because what Google is looking for is someone that knows what they're talking about. And that's why Google's rewarding the website, someone that's running a good business, to be found on that first page. So ultimately, run a good business and make sure that you understand some of what Google is looking for, which is content, some backlinks, making sure that the technical aspects are done properly, like your website is fast loading. Because, you know, when you go to a website that takes longer than 3 seconds, what do? You press that back button because people are impatient today, right? Make sure it's secure. Make sure that it's easy to read and easy to function, right? A user-friendliness is, you know, there. Gets to the point, right? And make sure that Google understands that what you're building is really to satisfy the users and not Google. So focus on taking care of your customers. Even though you've been doing it maybe for 5-10 years prior to building a website, transition what you've learned by building a really good business to online, and you're in the right track.
Thank you. You've been very sharing with your information, and it's fascinating. So I'll just ask you one more question. With your backlinks, are you talking about sharing other people's content on your page, or is it more important that other people share your content?
Yeah, so it's more important for other people in your industry, your niche, your locale, to have a link back to your website.
Yep.
Not the other way around. So backlinks are having other people linking back to you. And there's also different criterias, right? Domain authority, making sure that it's niche and relevant, the trust flow, the organic traffic. There's more detail to it. But I always say just run a good business, let other people know, take care of your customers, and get out there. It's like the same thing as running a business without technology, right? Back in the old day, it was all about relationship building, making sure your customers knew who you are, they referred you clients. It's the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Get back to what used to work 10, 100, 1500 years ago, right? Like things typically don't change to the same dynamics that people think it is going to change, right? It's going to revolutionize how people do business. Well, if you really think about it, it helped with, like, technology has helped people scale and grow if you're using it more effectively. But if you don't know how to run a good business, you're not taking care of your clients, you get really bad reviews, you're never going to be successful, right? So that whole track record and people that are going to find out about if you're a good business owner or not, you can't hide that, right? If you are really crummy at that and you have a really good exposure and business, you know, visibility online. So I always say, take care of your customers, run a good business so that when you're ready to have more visibility online, that's where SEO can really elevate your game.
All right. So I have a final question before we finish up then. Is your message to concentrate on your website and not necessarily trying to be everywhere, like on Facebook, on Instagram, everywhere, LinkedIn?
Yes. So that's exactly what I'm saying. My focus would be concentrate where your customers are consuming content. So if it is on videos like YouTube, spend more time putting out really good quality content. If it is audio, spend more time creating really well-scripted content for audio purposes. If it is for images, spend more time on Instagram taking really quality pictures, right? And if it is for search, like if it's business transactions, like product or service that you're offering, I would say Google is by far the number one place where people are consuming business type transactions, right? And therefore, I would say spend more time working on a really good website, but making sure that content piece is the same consistent message throughout the entire page, and focus on one medium first before you jump onto all these other. Because, you know, as a business owner, you're already so busy, right? With all these different aspects like operations, HR, sales, marketing, you know, accounting, all these things, right? Running, jumping at you all the time. So you need to really focus and do things well, really well. And things that you're not good at,
yeah,
let other people take care of it, right? Outsource, hire people, right? Because they can do it way better than you at a lower rate, and you will not be as stressed, right? That's why I've learned, because I'm not the strongest on social media. However, I know there's team members that are really strong and they love that. So I let them focus on their strengths. I focus on what I believe my strengths are, which is still sales and marketing, but I also now am a business owner, right? So I have way more different hats that I have to carry, but it's all about passion, right? Like, I love what I do. I love helping others. I love sharing the message. And it's all based on really just the number one foundation, which is relationship building. If you have a really good trait of taking care of people and wanting to help and give, eventually things will come back in return. And just don't ask for it, right? Like, just keep giving, doing the right thing.
Wow. Thank you very much. You have such a happy, smiley face, and I can hear it in your voice as well that you genuinely do enjoy what you do. I do have one tiny more little question. Is there an ideal length? Because I know if I come across something and it's like goes for an hour, I really start questioning whether I'm prepared to sit there or to watch something for an hour. So is it different for different mediums or?
So it depends on the content piece, right? So if you're consuming content for a different purpose, webinars, like if you're putting up an event and people are attending, you need to make sure that there's substance. There has to be some new data-driven stuff that people would find, or case studies that find attractive for them to attend, right? But depending on what you're putting out, right? Like, who is your audience? Is it just short how-to videos that people can just consume and do it themselves for 2 or 3 minutes? What's the purpose? What is your end game, right? You have to understand that. So don't just do it to do it. Do it with a plan, right?
Yeah.
And but enjoy it, right? Like, I love everything I do, but I also try to optimize, do the best I can at everything I do, or else why do it, right?
Yeah.
You don't do things, you know, just to do it. You do it so that you can get better, improve, find ways to be the best, right? In life, right? Like, everything you do as a business or in a personal relationship or, you know, family or whatever it is, like, you don't want to put out, if you're a cook, like, now that there's COVID-19, I've been cooking way more, but I've also been doing more research on how the best way to cook certain foods are, because I'm not going to just put out, you know, okay food. I want the best food because it's going to go to me and my family, right? So, you know, just like everything in life, right? Like, consume the best you can and do the best you can.
All right.
Well, thanks very much for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show today. And thank you for sharing. You have a lot of valuable information. And how would people get in touch with you if they wanted to find out more about you and your product and services?
Yeah, definitely, Anne. So you can go to my website. It's www.localseosearch.ca. We're residing here in Canada, but we service clients all over the world, UK, Australia, North America. And then we also, if you do want to reach out to me on a more personal level, you can find me on the team page of the website and link up to me on LinkedIn at John Vong. So you'll find my link there and you can just send me a message.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. You've been listening to John Vong, and thank you for giving up your time, and thank your son for allowing us to speak with you today. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Anne, for having me, and I had a great time too. Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.